What is up, Fantasyland? Welcome to the GOAT District. We have a special, special show tonight. If you're in a Dynasty Fantasy Football, you're in no better place than this. You found the place. If you're new to the channel, smash subscribe. If you're back, show support, smash the like. Guys, tonight, grab a beer, grab some pen and paper. We're going to dive deep into Dynasty Values, into the Dynasty Value War Zone. Talk player risers, fallers, dark horses, and so much more. We bring in a dynasty specialist. He's back to the district, DWZ Memphis. Let's get to it.
GOAT District, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion, for the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex, send the homie a text. That trash offer's the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden, they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's a... And I always be trading. Trading. And I always be trading. Trading. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them. Bait them. Bait them. Fish.
What's up, Fantasyland? I'm back in the district. I'm at JD Go District with my boy Theo, the OG Fantasy, and Dan at Overhype Sleeper. Forget the E at the end. Like I said, guys, this man is an OG GOAT. He was one of the first, man, one of the first to get on the mic on this specific show when we were just like a dark podcast, Randy. It was you, myself, Nate, Pilmer, we were like in garages and attics and trying to figure out even how to wire this stuff. And here we are, buddy. You're running the Dynasty War Zone legacy over there, creating something amazing. And we're pumped to have you tonight, buddy. Welcome back to the GOAT District.
First of all, thank you for having me. And yeah, it's been too long. We were chatting before we went live, and we obviously spent a lot of time together. We're in leagues, many leagues together, but man, it's just good to be back among friends. This is when the conversation gets good. We're going to talk Dynasty Fantasy Football, but it's good to be back with some of my absolute favorites to talk ball with.
No, it's awesome having you here. It's also awesome to get to like finally talk some Dynasty. It's been so important, but I think kind of like, you know, the money's on the table in certain leagues, you know, if you're in the playoffs or not. And so we all have a kind of an eye on Dynasty startups in a couple months, best ball season in a month. So it's really nice to be able to pivot, and it's great having you on, you know, because I respect the hell out of your Dynasty opinions, and I listen to the War Zone. So this is a real special one tonight.
And I was gonna tell Dan, this is the roots, right, Dan? Mm-hmm. This is where Dynasty is where this all started, and there's nothing we love talking more. I'm sure you're pumped for tonight too.
Yeah, and first time I came on the podcast, it was I think it was you and Randy. I don't think Nate was there the very first time. He was taking the week off or something. But yeah, it was a ton of fun. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was like, sure, I'll hop on. We'll talk football, and it's gone a long way since there. So. And I got to say, in the early days, Randy was really important in trying to help put the whole thing together, some of the technical aspects, everything else.
100%.
So, yeah.
Man, hasn't it gotten easier? Has it technology, like literally, I mean, in every aspect of life, right? But like the streaming service, the mics, the everything. I remember looking at my desk workshop now, and now I just have these simple two monitors and some lights and... Man, I used to have look like a bowl of spaghetti of wires and like.
Do you still use that little recorder thing? Remember that?
Absolutely not. the last time I used that little recorder, fun story. We went to Ohio for the fantasy football convention, not this past summer, but before. And Rich Dodson, speaking of Dynasty, Rich Dodson of the Dynasty Nerds hosted a get-together at his home. And I rode there. Well, actually, I drove there with Tyler Gunther, Doug Eddy, and I can't remember Chef's first name, from the Dynasty Happy Hour. I literally broke that little thing out. I put it on the in the cup holder of my truck, and we literally talked from the hotel all the way to Rich's house and then all the way back. Some great Dynasty conversations happened that day. But no, man, the technology's great, and it makes it easier doing this for damn sure.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, man. I remember you sending me pictures of your the wiring setup. We were trying to match it, get it to work together. But you know what, man? Like you said, things are a little easier now. We're pumped to have you tonight, Theo. I know you're just itching to get into this. So I'll let you get into the questions. Just let's get into it, man. I'll keep an eye on the chat, guys. If you're in the chat, drop your questions. We'll answer them as we go. What are you giggling about over there, Dan?
Oh, I'm giggling about the first comment on the show. This is not from a dynasty league, but from a redraft auction league. I had no wide receivers healthy this week that weren't on this last week that weren't on bye. And I'm looking over the waiver wire. There's nobody good on the waiver wire either. So I'm like, screw it. I'm going to start Devin Duvernay. And his big 0.0 points he got me last week. So, I still got the one though, Nate. Come on, man. even though I had like probably the second lowest score, I just had.
I think a lot of people had those, Dan. I think a lot of people had those, like where you think this guy's going to come in and give you, and they give you like 2 or 3 points, and it's like,
Yep. Yeah. I got to give Nate his props, man. He single-handedly keeps the chat in that league cooking. So.
Happy shout out Harry Snowman and shout out to another GOAT, Kevin Wheeler. Always pumped to have him in the chat, so I'm sure he's going to bring some good questions. All right, Theo, we've held this long enough. Let's get into it, brother.
Oh, famous last words are usually, I'm starting Devin Duvernay this week. So we shout out for running here and getting the W. But this, we got to keep our eye on the prize. This is a Dynasty Risers and Fallers show. This is not a 2023 rookie class evaluation one. I'm sure we're going to have over the next few months, 10 guests who are going to talk about this rookie class. And we're going to, by the end of it, we're going to have all of our sleepers, all of our favorites. But there's one name that kind of stands out. And in my opinion, he's kind of the hottest name in Dynasty football already. And he hasn't even been drafted. And that's Bijan Robinson. Anybody who doesn't know who he is, he's the running back for Texas. He's the real deal. You could watch him on YouTube for 30 seconds and kind of get that. But one thing this week is Todd McShay projected him to be the 5th overall selection to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Todd McShay doesn't get everything right, but it seems like the writing's on the wall and Bijan Robinson's going to be a day one NFL pick. How high is he going to go in dynasty startups, and how high should we be valuing the 1.01 in 2023 rookie drafts? It seems like it's going to be worth an absolute fortune. What do you think?
Well, it's Saquon Barkley all over again. We haven't seen this level of hype for a non-QB. The closest that would fill in the gap between Barkley and Hall would have been Trevor Lawrence as the 101 a year and a half ago. But when he declares, because with the NIL money in college right now, it's not 100% these guys are all going to declare. Kayshon Boutte, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from
wide receiver
LSU. You know, he decided to go back for his senior year. You know, more and more of these guys are staying. So the minute he declares, the 101 is worth a ton. I won't go into all of my dynasty rankings, but I do have him in my top five at the dynasty position for running backs in a startup. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to name other services, but there are services that still have guys like Christian McCaffrey. No offense to Christian McCaffrey, playing great, but he's going into year 7. This is dynasty. You know, Saquon Barkley going into year 5, got some injury issues, including a neck right now. Dynasty is about the long term. You want that short term production, that long term sustainability. And that's why he's going to go 101 is in rookie drafts and in startups. I think he should be somewhere around the turn in a 12-teamer. I think you're going to – well, yeah.
I think he's going higher than that.
I think I have 5 wide receivers and four running backs ahead of him. So, yeah, right there around 10. Now, some people, we'll call it the Kyle Pitts scenario. Some people just want to be the person who says they drafted the guy super high, way above consensus. But, yeah, he's going to go. I think when ADP comes out, I use DLF. I don't know what the goats here use, but like when DLF, ADP, we use Roto Underworld to find folks a player profiler. When their ADP data starts rolling out, it's probably going to be in a startup. I'm going to set the over under at 107.5. We got to make it gambleable, right? Is that a word? Gambleable? We can gamble on it.
I like it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it's Saquon Barkley level, but I think it could be even more hype than that, just because I feel like the hype train behind him is like an echo chamber, and I feel like everybody's behind it. And I do think that I'll take the under in your dynasty startup prediction. I think he's going to go somewhere in like the top five, and I think it's going to come down to like he'll be like a top two running back in dynasty startups. But if he goes fifth overall, it's insane. I don't necessarily buy that. And I think that there's been some pushback on that tweet. But
well, guys, did we not see Dallas? And Philly doesn't have to look that far. They look in their own division. Dallas got Zeke at what, number four? And he went RB3, RB3, RB6, RB5 his first 4 years. You look at that offense. Sanders is producing, right? But Dan, is he at the end of his – is he going his last year?
He's a free agent. Right? Coming up this next year.
So Gainwell's there. Boston Scott will be there forever. He's like the never-dying zombie. But I mean, do you think Dan that's where I know we were talking about it in the hard way today. That chat was lit. So shout out to them today because we started it off with a trade. Maybe we'll touch on later. But anyways, Dan, get on. You think Zeke is a good comparable there?
I mean, I kind of think Saquon's the comparable because there was things got really really steamy on Zeke. To the point where it was just like, you know, everybody just had to have Zeke. You could sell the 101 for a fortune that year. And I think it's going to be the same thing with Bijan. I don't necessarily buy that Philadelphia's going to use the number 5 pick on him. I think Howie Roseman is smarter than that. I think Howie knows that his D-line and O-line are definitely more important. And at the number 5, you can really grab a you know, an awesome prospect. There's no reason to push up the running back. I mean, you know, look what they've done with Miles Sanders. You know, they don't need to have the designer running back there. You know, if they want to upgrade on Sanders, I think they can do that. They still have another pick at the end of the first round. So, and if they even want to use that and package it with something else, they can do that too.
And the reason why I have him at like that 107 range is I think in dynasty startups in general, in 1QB, it's going to be much more on trend to go wide receiver. You're going to see a lot of 3 wide receiver, 4 wide receivers in a row draft. This will just tell you how long we've all been playing the game, because we've been playing the game together this long in the case of JD and I, is you're going to go back to like 2015 where Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, those type of guys were going 1, 2, 3 because the constant injury at the running back position, the lack of an ROI at the running back position is going to force Justin Jefferson into the top spot. It's going to push Jamar Chase in the up. It's going to push up Lamb, AJ Brown. Those guys are going to get pushed up. I still think there'll be some of the veterans drafted ahead of Bijan. That's where I'm getting that 107 overall in the startup in that range.
It's definitely going to be the story of the offseason, and I think that it's going to be a tremendous year just for discussing the worth of rookie draft picks, especially with we see a lot of running backs being projected to be drafted on day two and obviously day one. So it's super exciting. Pivoting over to the quarterback position, we've seen elite seasons out of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and also Jalen Hurts. These guys are going to be, especially Allen, I believe Allen and Mahomes, they're going to go in the second round and redraft next year. I just think that the wheels are churning for that. You're seeing it in early best ball drafts. Really more of a dynasty theory question. JD came up with this one, but would you consider trading one of these not old but extremely valuable quarterbacks? Is that a potentially strong dynasty strategy,
or is it a position that's already going to return you value for many, many years to come, and it's like counterproductive to move that in the rebuild? How would you gauge that, especially with some of these quarterbacks that are going to be red hot in terms of dynasty value?
Well, I want to start by saying, in a super flex, you're not going to pry me off of any of these top 5 to 6 QBs. We spend all this time trying to find the guy. The last thing I want to do is trade the guy when I've got the guy. In a one QB, it's a little bit different, but a term that I had never heard before until I heard a mutual friend of ours there, Theo, Matt Kelly, he used the term about quarterbacks value over stream. And streaming QBs in a one QB league had been a very popular thing. The only way that I would move an Allen, a Hurts, a Josh Allen is if I could get a guy like Deshaun Watson, who I believe in that offense. I can get him at a depressed value because we know that when Deshaun Watson plays like Deshaun Watson, he belongs in that class. Now, if I could get a Deshaun Watson and a nice draft pick, maybe. If I could get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, and a draft pick, sure. But if I got Patrick Mahomes, I'm just like, I don't have to worry about my QB. But the odds of Patrick Mahomes losing value before your league dissolves is more likely of your league dissolving than Patrick Mahomes' value or production ever dissolving. So if I got him, it's going to be real hard to push him out of my lineup and out of my team.
I'll follow up on that one with a follow-up question. And Dan and JD, you can take it for either format. But how about a single QB format? A single QB format, it becomes a little more interesting.
Yeah,
because those guys are worth, you know, in any kind of a calculator, those guys are worth a 2023 one for the Allens and the Mahomes. Where would you gauge that in a single QB?
Oh, I'll take that. I've got several teams that are one QB that I have Mahomes on, and you can have them when you can pry them out of my cold dead hand.
Yeah,
it's just not happening. I mean, he's such a huge advantage. You know, there was a couple of years ago with Mahomes where I didn't have a good team. I was rebuilding. I'd gotten Mahomes, and he darn near got me into the playoffs, even though I didn't want to get in the playoffs because the rest of my team was trash. But he was just so good, you know. And when you have a player like that, you know, he definitely has kept my team afloat. On some weeks where I had some, you know, several of my normal starters had kind of bad weeks or just not great weeks or whatever. And, you know, then Mahomes throws up a, you know, 35, 37, something like that. And it's like, great, you know, I'm right in the thick of it. I can still win my game.
It's the bird in the hand as well, right, Dan?
Yeah. Well, and when you're talking playoffs, exactly. I mean, single elimination, right? You know, having those huge scores just makes such a gigantic difference. You know, I kind of learned my lesson a few years ago with Travis Kelce in a tight end premium. I traded him off after a good year. I was like, you know, I think I can. I traded him for Tyler Eifert and Mark Ingram. I will not forget that. That was the most boneheaded thing I think I've ever done in Dynasty.
It's a bad pivot, Dan. Bad pivot.
It was a terrible pivot. I thought Eifert could be something close to Kelce for a few years. I whiffed badly on that. Ingram was, you know, definitely a decent running back, but it was not worth coming off Kelce. And the guy I traded him to has held on to him like grim death every year since. So
I'll add this before you let Randy answer, just in context. The reason I ask this question is because I have a team, guys, in OG GOAT. I mean, we did a dispersal and I picked up Mahomes in it. And I'm looking at my team, and there's no one in the middle, but I've got Kelce, a quarterback, and, you know, like a Kittle, picked up Swift, like, you know, like just a couple pieces here and there. And I'm looking at it, and it's like, do I want to move one of these now called unicorns, right, Theo? That's kind of what we've been talking about, these top quarterbacks. That's what they're kind of becoming. Back in the days where these guys were going in the top, you know, first rounds, a la Mike Vick days, right? Maybe not to that extent, but we're getting close when you're talking second, third round. So that's kind of where this question came from. It's like you said, guys, if you sell him and you build up other positions and you think you're going to get that piece back later on, I don't know that that's the case, right? So maybe it's better to hold on and build around these quarterbacks, which is different in a one QB. Randy, where do you sit on this with a one QB? You've given us your thought on the super flex situation.
I'm with Dan. I've got the thing that I'm trying to get. I can focus all of my time, all of my draft capital, all of my fab, all of my trade energies. I can focus all that energy on everything else, whether I'm contending or rebuilding. I just don't have to mess with it. It's very comfortable because, and we've seen this, I mean, with the rookie QBs for the last several years, it's that there's not been a high strike rate of success over the last few years. We thought in 2018 that Josh Allen and Lamar were barely going to hang on, and that Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold and Baker were going to kill her.
I'm old enough to remember that.
Yes. Sir. Yeah. And the quarterback position is so hard for the NFL GMs to get right. Why do I want to take on that burden as a dynasty gamer? If I got the dude, I'm going to hang on to the dude, especially as young as guys like Mahomes and Allen and Hurts. And I'll just focus all my time and energy on other positions in my roster.
Yeah, and it also speeds up your rebuild. Even if you're rebuilding, all it takes is hitting on a few draft picks and all of a sudden you're back into it. You see how quickly some of these, elite type prospects develop. Maybe you drafted a Justin Jefferson, and all of a sudden you've got a guy like that to go with an elite QB and you're kind of right there. Pivoting away back to the running back position, we've seen elite production from the 2017 rookie class of running backs, as well as some other veteran running backs, resulting in all but one running back this year being in their third season or more. So the only running back that we have in the top 12 scorers for fantasy running backs is Ramondre Stevenson, and there's a chance he could get knocked out if he's unable to go. So you might have a true 12 out of 12 with no first or second year guys. Should we be adjusting? And this is something I've talked about. We talked about a little bit with Austin Martin. We talked a little bit with Scott Connor and some of our like true dynasty minds. Should we be adjusting our priors on the running back age apex? It's something that we've heard in dynasty circles for years about, a certain age, certain number of carries, we're moving on from a guy. And you're taking on risk when you hold on to him. Is this creating an opportunity to sell based on my argument I just said, or do you think there's something there with age apex needs to get adjusted?
For me personally, I think the running back position, how you manage your running back position more than any other group on your dynasty roster has to be the most in sync with your goals as a dynasty GM. If you're trying to contend, I'll use one of my leagues as an example. I'm in a league called the Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League. By the way, I recommended you. We had a member dropout. I recommended you guys for a membership. We'll see how that goes. But in this league, I'm a contender. And in the offseason, I was just picking up my best hit of the year. I got Miles Sanders from you in a league. We're in as well, Theo.
Yeah.
So for me, Miles Sanders aligned with my goals of contending. And the running back position, the old adage, stay like water. It just has to ebb and flow throughout the course of the day. Our Super Goat League, I thought I was going to be able to contend this year. I made a trade for Alvin Kamara in the offseason. He has not looked like Alvin Kamara, at least not the Alvin Kamara that I remember. And now I'm trying to sell him because my team didn't make the playoffs. I'm trying to get a deal done before our trade deadline. And I think the running back position, age doesn't matter. You're looking for production, situation, and make sure it aligns with what you don't want to be picking up Alvin Kamara if you're in a rebuild, as I guess is a faster way of saying it. You don't want to go trade for Breece Hall if you're contending and give away the pieces that it takes to contend and go win a championship in the next 3 weeks. That's how I'm treating it. But yeah, age is just a number at the running back position. I just want dynasty points. I'll build around everything else. The running back position's just it's a car wreck, literally and figuratively right now.
You got to play year by year, in my opinion. That's the one position where you can't look too far.
And that's why I think Breece Hall will go, Bijan Robinson will go so high. We're going to talk about the rookie wide receiver class here in just a couple of minutes, but we're getting so many more wide receivers each and every year. This class was great. And I read that question. I don't want to skip ahead on you, but this class was great. And the last class was great. And the class before that was great. And you get my point. Going back to like 2018, we've not had a bad wide receiver class, but we've damn sure had some droughts at the running back position. So you can, but oddly enough, we're able to continue to play the game with the running backs we have. So I don't get too married to running backs, regardless of their age. It's just more about my goals as a dynasty team and team to team. How I value Miles Sanders in one league is completely different than the other. So the age thing doesn't bother me as much as the alignment of my goals.
Dan?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And a lot of times, what you can get out of trying to trade away an older running back just isn't worth it. Like I had a team where I knew I was kind of retooling this year, and I had Aaron Jones, and I've been trying basically since February to, trade Aaron Jones and get a decent amount of value for him. And it just hasn't been happening. Everybody's looking at his age. They're looking at this is, his last season in Green Bay. They don't know. And, there's just too many question marks around him. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep putting him in my lineup and letting him score points. And if I don't trade him this year, I'm just going to keep putting him in my lineup as long as he's good next year. It's like there's a certain point where you just have to say, if I can't get a decent value out of this, I might as well just play him. And, if nothing else, I'll just play the spoiler.
But I think that's kind of – so let me ask you this, Dan. What were you looking for when you were trying to trade Aaron Jones? A 2023 one?
Even a low 2023 one, yeah.
Was there something that you would have taken that would have been lower? Since the trade deadline's passed, it's an FFPC league. What would you have taken?
Basically, I didn't get anything anywhere close to, what I would want to take. I was getting, James Robinson in a late second or things like that for offers. And I was just like, I'd rather just have Aaron Jones.
Yeah. And I think that, but I think that two things that you guys kind of said that you and Randy said, I think that our focus should be trying to maybe buy some of these guys just because I think it's, even if you're like a near contender, I think sometimes people don't want to take on older running backs.
Right.
And I think people want to get out from under them. And I'll bring up another Matt Kelly saying, it's the Wolf's Law, about some of these guys that have, shown that they can handle a load and shown that they can make it through an NFL season are actually more durable than some of these young backs that we think can be, 15-game guys. So I think that it's actually this offseason on some of my teams that might not be the best roster in the league but are better than middle of the pack. I think that you can go out and get an older running back for a lot cheaper than maybe he's worth. I think that like a lot of people will just take a slightly lower offer in terms of getting out from underneath that old guy. And I think if this season's taught us anything is that, these 27-year-olds, 26-year-olds, they have a lot more value to my
team. They still have value. Yeah,
100%.
And I love that because it just opens up the opportunities, right? For you to build that running back, like we talked about, you can stack up in other positions. You can build that running back position the way you like, but you just have more options now. And now you have cheap options. You can go out there and buy Foreman's for cheap. Look at Foreman, what he's doing this year. Look at Lavonte Murray or Latavius Murray, guys. Like Latavius Murray, talk about a zombie coming back from the dead. Not only filling in, giving you double digits production, gave you up to 17 points 1 week. I mean, not feeling good about him next week, but I'm just saying, like, now you have more options and you can have different textures with your running back room as a roster. And I really like what this offers. And that's why I liked your theory, Theo, when you first brought it up, because it's true. Now you talk about like Rebar was talking about like Derrick Henry, and the last 3 years, it's like a hot potato. You're like, oh, I'm not grabbing Henry. He's gonna die out. He's winning leagues, man. He's like, so now you just have more options at running back. And I like that. It opens it up. And now with the free agency coming up this offseason, I mean, guys, this is like fantasy players heaven this offseason with all the, the booms we're going to see on Twitter with these running backs.
Well, it's going to be heaven, but it's going to wreck a lot of shop.
For sure. For sure.
Like, a lot of values.
Like if Saquon Barkley, I'm just making this up, but hypothetically, if Saquon Barkley winds up in Jacksonville, what does that do to him and to Travis Etienne? It just crushes it, and that's very feasible because.
So how do you play that, Randy? How do you play that? Do you not invest in running backs this offseason until you get closer to the season? How do you play that?
I like to invest in talent. I like to invest like right now. You couldn't buy Josh Jacobs for probably less than two firsts. If your league doesn't have a trade deadline, Josh Jacobs leading the league by rushing yards by over 200 yards, having a great season all around. But I got news for you. 1 month from today will be January 14th. There will be no dynasty games being played, and Josh Jacobs will be lucky to fetch a 2023 first. So you know what I do know is Josh Jacobs is still going to be good at football this time next year. Well, yes, hopefully, as long as he's not hurt. And that's what I'm going to go look to buy. Just because he's good now, I'm going to be looking to buy in the offseason. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys like that. I'm looking at Josh Jacobs. I'm looking at Najee Harris. We just did a show that launched on Wednesday the 14th on our show. And our show was entitled for the week of the 14th was guys we'd actually pay dynasty market for. Guys that I would actually, whatever their current gene, like, hey, I want a first for Najee. Cool. You know why? That's a really good offense. You know, Najee's in year two. Pickett's in year one. Pickens is in year one. Calvin Austin is in year two. The grand old man, 26-year-old Deontay Johnson. And they're going to have draft capital. They're going to have money. And those are the kind of situations. I'll be buying Najee. You'll get Najee dirt cheap, and we'll look back a year from now and go, man, we let Najee go way too cheap last year. So that's how I attack the running back position. It's just trying to find that value regardless of age. But I don't think age – I think age, if it doesn't scare you, it scares someone else, and scared money don't make money.
At least one, if not several managers in your league are going to be age-averse in every single dynasty league. There's always going to be somebody trying to rebuild and that kind of thing. So I think you play the psychological aspect, and I think that that's a great point by Randy on trade timing. Unless I'm going for a chip, wait a month on some of these guys you know you're going to get for a little bit cheaper. Wanted to ask about another older veteran, one that I think will be a very interesting guy to price in Dynasty this offseason. Travis Kelce is having one of the best seasons of all time for a tight end. Any way you want to cut it, it's probably a top three season for a tight end, if not the best. He's scoring like a top three running back and a top five tight end, a top five wide receiver. He'll be a locked in 2023 first round pick in redraft in pretty much every single format. How should we go about valuing him in the in dynasty leagues? He's 33 years old. He doesn't show much signs of slowing down, and he's attached to the what we could say is the best quarterback in football. If you want to argue and say he's the second best, go ahead. But he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. And how would you go about valuing Travis Kelce?
Well, Travis Kelce is very slippery. He's like within a year of age of Gronk, who's now retired not once but twice. So if you draft
older than Gronk. Older than Gronk.
Is he a year old? I knew they were within. He's
older than Gronk, yeah.
He's within 12 months. Now, he's been healthier. But if you draft Kelce this coming dynasty startup season, which is crazy as it is to say, we're like 3 months away from startup, maybe even two. As soon as the Super Bowl ends, startup season begins. So if you draft Travis Kelce, then your draft strategy has to be built around win now. And if you're trying to acquire him in the offseason, your goal has to be to win a chip within the next 2 years. Because if not, you're just spinning your wheels. Or you're hoping to get him and flip him in season, and maybe you can catch a value spike. But he has to help you win pretty soon, because even though he's playing great, kind of like Tom Brady, eventually Father Time wins, right? Tom Brady looks like Father Time's on his heels, and that'll help into Kelce. And I don't want to be the one holding the Kelce hot potato at his current valuation. So I'm either going to win a championship with him, or I'm going to get him off my roster for a haul. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I tried buying Kelce at the trade deadline from a team that was not a contender. And this is FFPC, so you know you're talking tight end premium. Team that was not a contender, I was definitely a strong contender. I needed help at tight end. I was offering, I think I offered my first and a second for Kelce, and the guy turned me down. He said, you know, he goes, I think I'm going to be a contender next year. I want to keep Kelce. And he said, and he's going to help me win the 1-on-1 this year. Because, of course, in the FFPC, you have a tournament for the, you know, all the non-playoff teams play a tournament for the 1-on-1. Best, you know, team that wins that tournament gets a 1-on-1. So, you know, he says, he's worth too much to try to get that 1-on-1 than to, you know, just sell him to you, even though it would be nice to have that extra first and second.
Travis Kelce as the bridge to Bijan Robinson. There you go. Show title, JD, when you put the pot out.
I, guys, you know, I traded November 23rd. I made, and there is no guarantee I'm making the playoffs. I didn't make the playoffs. This is a tight end premium FFPC, and I'll make this day. I'll make this trade over and over. I sent my first and my second, or actually not even my first, someone else's first, believe was later, mid to later, and then a second, and for Geno Smith and Travis Kelce. Again, tight end premium FFPC leagues where I want to win now or next year. You know, I'm not looking past the next year or two. So I'll make that move for Kelce. Two interesting things that I heard today was only on injury report three times in his entire career as a 33-year-old tight end, guys. That's impressive. And if you look at the difference between him and Andrews right now, Andrews has 61% of his fantasy points. Shout out to Rich Rebar for those two stats. But it's such an advantage, guys. And like I said, I'm not looking 5 years down the road in Dynasty. To me, Kelce's a no-brainer, man. The advantage he gives you. I'll be held keeping the potatoes. Yeah, you're not going to get him on a reno or a rebuild. But if you're close to competing at all, I think go buy him and hope that the owner is afraid of that 33-year-old age.
Yeah, I think that's you hit the nail on the head. It's to me, it's a buy because you get the age discount. People are age averse. Again, he's 33 years old. But I just think it's interesting because we see wide receivers break down a lot more quickly than we do tight ends in most cases. And you could get a lot more for some of those premium wide receivers that might have just gone over 30. It seems like you might be able to get more for like a Devontae Adams than a Travis Kelce. And sure. I don't know if that's – I think that they should be closer in terms
of – And one's tied to Mahomes and one's tied to Derek Carr. I know in Memphis likes Carr, and I like Carr as well. But you know, he's tied to Mahomes, man. That's
gold. Even like what is the window for Cooper Kupp coming off of an injury? Like realistically, I think
– Another good topic.
Another 2 years guy. But it's just – to me, a wide receiver could break down a lot more quickly – like you could see a scenario where Kelce fades, but he fades to like tight end, you know, six, tight end eight. You know, he's still a very effective guy. Maybe sees a little less volume. Maybe a wide receiver, you know, becomes the alpha in that offense. But I think it's worth kicking the tires. Even if you're not the best roster in the league, like Randy said, I think realistically a 2 year window for him. And that's a 2 year window at producing at like an elite level tight end.
He's a difference maker. Yeah. He's a difference maker.
And JD had a great point on the injuries where he might be a little bit more of a unicorn, like a guy who plays into like a Tony Gonzalez type age. How old was Tony Gonzalez when he retired?
I think it was
36.
Yeah.
I think it was 36.
I think Witten and Gates were both older.
Yeah. Yeah. Witten was running like he had a piano on his back at the end, but he was still catching touchdowns from Dak Prescott at certain times.
Hey, as long as he could get open, catch a ball, and fall down, you know, yeah, Prescott was throwing him the ball.
I mean, last year, Gronk came out of retirement and finished as a tight end one pretty easily. I think he was destroyed. Top six.
He smashed.
These veteran tight ends, they just have this knack for getting open that is just beyond me.
It takes longer to learn the position, right, guys? It's like defenseman in hockey. It's the hardest position to learn, and usually it's the toughest on them physically, but he's the unicorn in that way. So you kind of get the advantage of having a position where he can keep going 35, 36, but just give me two more years of Kelce, and I'll take him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Getting to some younger players, just want to get your thoughts on this rookie wide receiver class. You alluded to it earlier. It's in the show sheet. Dan and I have been kind of talking to people about how we see this wide receiver class now in kind of a historical perspective. We're both, I would say, Dan, it's not putting words in your mouth to say that that this class has exceeded your expectations this year.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I thought we'd get maybe one or two out of, you know, like Olave, London, Burks, you know, all those guys. I thought there'd be one or two of them that would really show out, and we would have a few more that just, you know, ended up being busts. And as it turns out, we had a lot of really strong wide receivers in the class. I mean, you know, London, Burks, Wilson, Olave. There's four right there. Jameson Williams hasn't even gotten a chance to show his stuff yet.
Don't forget your favorite, Dan. Don't forget your favorite.
Yep. I'm getting there. Pickens.
I'll tell you a guy that Dan didn't mention that I really like in this class. He didn't play due to it was a form of cancer, and I feel bad. John Mechie.
Yes.
John Mechie.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
You know, Alec Pierce with the Colts has flashed.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean,
Jahan Dotson.
Robinson looks pretty good.
Dotson.
Jahan. Yeah. I mean, but this is kind of what the NCAA is giving us as dynasty gamers now. They're given. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just looking, going back to 2018, which was the Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, DJ Moore, et cetera. I mean, these drafts, because of the money wide receivers are making right now, I think it's the third highest paid position behind quarterback, defensive end, and then wide receiver, and then white right behind. It seems like the move is to get a quarterback, get the guy who can get to the opposing quarterback, get the guy that gets the ball from the quarterback, and then the guy who stops the guy getting the ball from the quarterback. So with this amount of money going to the wide receiver position, we're going to continue to see phenomenal athletes. And we didn't mention Wandale Robinson, by the way. He had a couple of nice games.
There's a Freudian Rondale Moore, Wandale Robinson.
but
four wide receivers.
But this goes back to the earlier question. This is why Bijan Robinson will go 101. It's why Breece Hall went 101 last year. It seems like you're getting that mini baby rookie unicorn every year at the RB position. And then after that, you might as well shrug your shoulders and just take the best wide receiver available, because it's the safer. We've all had a rebuild, or we've all had a dispersal, and you're down on your luck and you just want to get this thing going, right? But you're not going to win this year. You want to invest in something safe. You might be better to trade back and get a couple of wide receivers. Hey, I'll give you the 101. You go get, Bijan, and I'll take a couple of wide receivers in your 2024 first, and I'll find a running back next year. So the rookie class is amazing. I don't think it's 2014 amazing. I think that's the greatest wide receiver class in the history of the NFL. That's my opinion. But you can go back and look and see who was in this class, in that class. But this class has some potential for dynasty and fantasy purposes to be really, really good. I think these guys will allow for a lot of for what you guys do with the redraft. I think it'll allow a lot of excitement in those rounds 3 through 5 at the running back position next year, because these guys will be slept on, and you'll be able to get them in rounds 6 through 8 in best ball. Dan, I saw your smile. Best ball, as you guys start kicking that up in February, there'll be some value here for sure, like a Jameson Williams. Eventually, the sharps like you guys will make his value no longer a value. That's what you guys do.
We're going to tweet a bunch of Jameson. Well, I'm not let people get Jameson Williams.
That's why you guys exist, is to smash
The best ball league I care the most, Randy, out of all my best balls, is that first one we do, the hard way one, the 77. Yeah. I win that one, which, Dan, I hope your team slows down a bit, because I'm up there, but you're catching me. But I would love to win that one just because of all the beasts in that league. You're right.
So, right. I think this is a good spot to JD, talk about that trade you made, Devonta. Talking about in the hardware this morning. This is because I think we can hit on a topic here that speaks to exactly what Randy was talking about.
Yeah, so the same team where I've got Mahomes there had Devontae Smith as a guy drafted, and last night Nate Pilmer, shout out to Nate, the one of the guys you definitely want in your dynasty leagues, one of the OG goats. But he sent me DeAndre Swift for Devontae Smith. I just smash accepted when I saw it. I was a little, you're never sure until you get that reassurance from at least one person. So I shout out to Dan and Theo, and it became a pretty big discussion in the hard way, and it is closer than you think. I even put I'll pull up the poll that I pulled up, but I'm curious to get Randy, your thoughts on that trade, just because it was a big topic in the hard way today, and it's something that I think it's an interesting trade, because you've got some values that have increased, some values that have gone down. What are your thoughts, Randy?
I like DeAndre Swift, but I think his name value is always going to be worth more than his perceived value. I'm not going to call anybody out, but he was going to be a league winner last week, or he was going to get you a lot of teams into the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure the Lions scored 34 points, and he scored 7. PPR points. Whereas Devonta Smith, I think if you take out, and this is a Theo tweet, I'm pretty sure.
You take away week one,
and he's like a top 14 wide receiver. I made the mistake of trading him. This is when your friends make you feel bad inadvertently. That's why I remember it was Theo that sent that tweet about Devonta Smith. I sold him way too cheap in one of our patron leagues earlier in the season, and I was just like, damn it to hell. Dude, no, I love that trade for you. You're rebuilding. Devonta's still going to be producing in 2 years. No, and
you traded for DeAndre, or you traded
for Smith? I picked up Swift. I
apologize. I had it backwards. No, I love it. But
you love it for Nate. You love it for Nate.
I do love it for
Nate. Nate's listening. Shout out to Nate.
I love it for Nate if he's rebuilding.
Right.
If he's rebuilding,
he's competing. He needs the production now, I believe. I'll go check it out, but I'm pretty sure that's a deal.
I how about this? They're valued equally to me. They're pretty close.
Yeah, he's competing now.
Yeah, I mean my only fear with like trading for a guy like Devonta on a contending team is they're going to lock up the first round bye if they beat Dallas on Christmas Eve. That's week 16. If I'm playing for a championship in week 17 or, God forbid, week 18, the last thing I want to do is to see Philadelphia resting players and not getting my full complement of points, whereas DeAndre Swift will be on the Lions, who could be fighting for that final, you know, playoff spot, and they may have more incentive to play him. I think it's a fair trade. But I think on a contender, I think I'd rather have Swift, but I like both.
I think if you want to look at it like JD from, since the offseason is close, I would take Devonta Smith. However, I do think you're going to have a window of time this offseason where DeAndre Swift might be worth more in terms of what I could trade him for, just because it's like the army of mid wide receiver twos to high end wide receiver threes. It's so close. Like Randy says, there's so many talented guys. You're going to add in a number of the rookies in this class, and then you're also going to add in the wide receivers who are going to get drafted, and there will be a few day one and a few day two guys that we're going to like as well. So I think that just from a scarcity perspective, you still have a young running back, which people can talk themselves into, you know, being something. Whereas Devonta Smith, you know, he's really good. Yeah. But you know, how much more is he worth than, you know, Treylon Burks? Or,
well, Wheeler nailed what I wanted to bring up. And I know, Dan, we talked about this in that chat, is let's not forget, Goddard's been away, man, and he's back, right? So how does that change the dynamic with this Philly offense? And does that affect what Smith does?
Before we start down that road, let me throw in a couple other thoughts on Smith versus Swift. So both of them, DeAndre Swift has scored 13 points in standard PPR. And then you take a look at Devonta Smith, he's scored 13.3 on average in standard PPR. I mean, they're scoring almost the same. This has been about as bad of a season as you could think of for Swift without him being just totally out. You know, he missed several weeks. He's been, you know, stuck in a two and sometimes three-man committee. And still, this is what he's doing. He does have the talent, and this is why I like Randy. You know, I like grabbing talent, and he's got the talent to definitely be a top six running back in the league. You know, he just needs a situation. You can argue, well, he's never getting that situation in Detroit. I don't know, maybe. But he's only got one more year in Detroit, and he's going to be a free agent. So, you know, that doesn't concern me that much. Whereas 13-point wide receivers, they're a dime a dozen a little bit. They're not that hard to come across. That's why if I can trade a guy who's getting me 13 points and he's doing that while Goddard is out, so he's been in a pretty positive situation and he's playing for a team that, you know, it scores a bunch of points, but they do a lot of running. You know, there are other good targets on the offense. You know, I don't see Devonta Smith ever turning into a, you know, a top six wide receiver or anything like that. So I think what you got to do is you got to say, what is my ceiling outcome? Because my floor is virtually the same either way.
Yeah, for me, it's a combination of Randy talking about talent, Theo talking about the offseason coming. For me, when I saw this offer, I just thought between now and next, the beginning of next season, whose value has a higher chance of spiking? For me, Swift right now, his value, like Dan said, it can't be much lower, right? With Jamal Williams just tearing it up. He's like Detroit's, you know, company man right now. But Swift still has that talent. He's still young. And there's one position you want opportunity at, and that's running back.
Well, I will say one thing, and this will be my last point on Swift, is that you bought equity. And here's what I mean. If you go to Fantasy Pros, it's free. It's easy. Dynasty rankings, anybody can use it. So it's free. They currently have DeAndre Swift as their RB9 in their – I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's where they have him. Cool. Names they have ahead of him, like Nick Chubb, he's producing more right now. Austin Eckler, he's producing more right now. Even Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, they're producing more right now. But what's going to happen in the offseason? They're going to get old again. They're going to be going into years 5 and 6 and 7, and Swift is going to be going into a contract season, and all of a sudden you're buying today's RB9 that could be the offseason startup's RB5. You just bought that equity, whereas with Nate, he bought Swift kind of at his ceiling, and he would need a big injury from, to Dan's point, Goddard or A.J. Brown to continue to potentially hold that value. So if you're looking at it from a pure equity value standpoint, you actually did real well. Forget the points, forget everything else, because we're almost done in point scoring season. We're going into off-season equity season, and that's definitely on your side in this deal.
And, J.D., it's also like, would people make that trade with you if it was May? They would not.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. So I think that's Randy, you guys all touched on some really sharp ones with that, but it's kind of like
an interesting one. I thought it's very interesting.
And viewing players as assets instead of, you know, what are they doing this year in some like short term view.
It's like crypto, Theo.
It always comes back to JD and his Bitcoin. That's it.
You know, every time I see Bitcoin, I root for JD. I know he didn't get killed, but I know he
quick,
got
quick
killed.
Quick note, we sold that shit a long time ago.
We're just sitting
on the sideline with powder. That's what we're doing right now.
Oh, good. I feel so much better because every time I
see I'm laughing. I see this stuff. It's like a sitcom right now. It's amazing. I love it.
Oh man, I'm so happy to hear that because you were like
I still believe in it. I still believe in it, but now you don't want to be in it right now, that's for sure.
See, listen to JD, he was an early adapter. That's the one thing you want to be in anything within a speculative market, whether that be finance, crypto, dynasty, fantasy football.
Tulips. Back in
the day. Look at Harry Snowman.
Yeah, that's exactly.
There you go. I didn't even see that. Good thinking, Harry Snowman.
It's always good to be an early adapter and being willing to sell before it becomes too late. That's great. Tulips, 1637. Can't beat it.
That's it. The Dutch, man. They love them. Want to touch on two injured running backs, Breece Hall, and to a lesser extent, Javonte Williams, because I feel like Breece, there's a little more optimism for recovery, and also he was doing a little bit more on the field than we saw with Javonte. Breece Hall looked like he was going to be the steal of redraft and, you know, an instant RB1, goes down with an injury. Javonte Williams was in a kind of a frustrating split, but we still believe in the talent, goes down with an injury. Both these guys missed the season. We've seen, you know, Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins come back to minimal, I could say minimal success. How are you going to be treating Hall and to a lesser extent Williams? Do you think that they are buys, sells, or are you kind of neutral on them?
I value Breece Hall way more than the community, it feels like. Again, I'll reference Fantasy Pros. They have him as their RB4 that's moved up since the recording of our show. They had him as the RB5 in a startup. He's my RB2. I still believe in Jonathan Taylor just because he's healthier. He missed his first ever practice this year, and then he subsequently missed some games. But it's JT1, Hall 2. I know it's always easy to say that an ACL is a minor ACL when it's not your ACL. But there is more concern about the involvement of other aspects of the knee with Javonte Williams. You know, you could have that be a J.K. Dobbins situation, or you could have it be a Nick Chubb situation. I'm not going to hold it against Javonte Williams that his head coach was a bozo and decided to ride Melvin Gordon until he got himself ran out of town. I'm not holding that against Javonte Williams. I'll buy the dip. Like if I'm not a contender and I can move, like I like Josh Jacobs. I've been searched at DWZ Memphis and then Josh Jacobs. You will see this is a pro Josh Jacobs shop. But if I can move Josh Jacobs and get a 23 first in Javonte Williams, I think that's a deal you could probably get done in a lot of leagues. I'm taking it. I love Josh Jacobs, but I think Javonte Williams will be fine. And just you may get a pup situation because he got hurt so early in the season. You'll have the entire offseason to gauge how he's recovering. Something I like to do is look at these guys' Instagrams or TikToks because they'll post little breadcrumbs and clues about their PT and how things are going. And if they're vibing positive, that's a great time to vibe positive with them. You know, some guys don't post a bunch, but yeah, I'm buying both because the hype's only going to come back. I can just remember J.K. Dobbins last year.
I was just going to ask you about J.K. because Harry Snowman just mentioned it in the chat and we just saw him blow up. What are your thoughts on J.K. moving forward dynasty wise?
You're not, this is going to sound horrible and I don't mean it bad, but it always sucks when those guys come back and absolutely smash because you're not getting them cheaper. Oh, great. Here he is. Because, you know, this thing about J.K. Dobbins, right? Same thing with DeAndre Swift in a different degree. Super popular Power Five conference. Ohio State, you know, Georgia. Great Devy college lineage coming into the league. These guys are always going to retain value. Whereas the guys like Damian Pierce, James Robinson, on and on and on. They're going to get crushed in value the minute the season ends. Just watch. They're going to crater.
They're like the Jimmy G's of.
I can't do this to the Goat District. I'm not going to go down a bad rabbit hole, but it's like hooking up with an unattractive one. You don't mind doing it for that night. You don't mind doing it for that season. You just don't want to be attached to it long term. You got out of it what you needed out of it. You needed that night. You need this season, but get away from these assets. And like J.K. Dobbins is going to hold value. So that's the same reason why I like Javonte. It's the same reason why I like Breece Hall. Great pedigree, great NFL draft capital, and I believe these guys will be back.
Yeah, Breece Hall is the unicorn because of his pass catching ability and how much work they were giving him. Javonte, it's kind of like the Nathaniel Hackett thing. There's a little more hurdles for him to climb, but I'm with you. I actually tried to get a lot of Breece Hall. When he was hurt, and people were still not selling him well.
Yeah,
nobody's giving up Breece Hall.
I tried.
Yeah, I personally, I'm a lot more bullish about Breece Hall than I am about Javonte Williams. I do believe there was a different degree of damage in the knee, and that does matter to me. You know, if I'm wrong on Javonte, I'm wrong on Javonte. I already sold where I had him immediately. And I feel like I got pretty good value for it. And, you know, I think the time to buy in might be sometime during the season next year if he's struggling and injured and not doing well. You know, and if he comes back and he's, you know, he's just killing it, well, then I just missed my window. But, you know, there are other running backs I can go after. So I'm not going to beat myself up too bad about that. But Breece Hall, I think, has a little bit more of a simple ACL, and I think that he'll probably be fine. I mean, I expect him to start a little bit slow, but I think he'll be fine, you know, by like midseason or so for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely one to follow in the offseason. But we've reached 58 minutes here, so it's almost like perfect timing to segue to the title of the show. We were talking about some dynasty risers and fallers, and this is more in like a – You can treat this in like your own perspective of guys, like or you know, a guy you might be looking to buy versus you might be looking to sell, or you can look at it from the general marketplace, guys you think are going to really move up. So take this question as you want, but we're going to go around the circle, starting with Randy, and I guess we can just kind of move clockwise. So go Randy, JD, Theo, Dan for every single question here. Randy, I want you to list a quarterback that you view as a riser, one that is a faller for you. And then maybe one dark horse guy that you think will be an offseason buzz guy or a guy maybe you're a little higher on than consensus.
All right. Well, I love this one because the quarterback position we talked about earlier is so hard to get right. I think the ultimate riser right now is Trevor Lawrence. And it was one of my bold predictions on our show. I said that at the end of this season, we'll look at Trevor Lawrence this offseason the way we looked at Justin Herbert last offseason. We'll want to anoint him into that top five category. The last couple of weeks, he's looked great. Here's another bold prediction right here on the GOATcast is they're going to pick up Frank Reich, exiled head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. They'll bring him in. They've got, and here's the thing. He's already got Calvin Ridley waiting in the wings along with Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. And it's a pretty neat little offense there with Travis Etienne. So I think my riser's Trevor Lawrence. I think my faller continues to be Trey Lance. And nothing that he's done, but he didn't look great in his start and a half. You're starting to see could he get Wally pipped by Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant? And then my dark horse is going to surprise some people because I don't know that he's technically a dark horse, but it's going to be Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith keeps that job in Seattle or he gets another job. Like I would love if Geno – imagine Geno going back to the mean streets of the New York Jets to take over for Zach Wilson?
It would be such a good story.
That'd be awesome.
Let me have a quarterback in Dynasty that – literally, can he upgrade from DK Metcalf, Kenny Walker, and Tyler Lockett? Yeah, maybe he can when he gets Corey Davis, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Breece Hall, and that offensive line can maybe get better. And a guy who completes 72% of his passes with those weapons and that yak ability. So that would be my sleeper. So Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Geno.
JD, what do you have?
I got to go Fields, man. I just bought Fields. I always like to, kind of back what I'm saying with how I act. So what did I do? I bought Fields, Pittman, and a second for Pickett, Diggs, and a first and a second. And that was initially me selling Kyler. So he's one of the guys that I think his value is going down. Kyler and Tua, two guys whose value is going down, but Fields is going up. And I'm all about buying him right now. Goff is another interesting guy. I feel like he's got a lot of weapons around him, and maybe people are writing him off, but he might be a guy that you can get at a good value, especially like super flex wise. Yes, maybe they bring in a new quarterback this offseason and all of that, but you see this offense and this team as a whole just doing really well with Goff at the quarterback position. He's got a ton of weapons. So you got to think that even if they bring someone in, doesn't necessarily mean that happens right away. So Goff for me at the price that you can probably get him, especially this off season, I think he's another guy that he's kind of sneaky. It's funny, Randy, that you talked about Lance as a faller. I see him this off season as being another guy where hype will start building around. Cause what are they going to bring in Purdy to San Fran?
If he's the clear starter, and Shanahan says this is our guy.
So what, you think Purdy's taking him to the bowl or what?
he could take him to the NFC Championship game. I want to keep the language
or
parameters
clear,
but we had big blank Nick with the Philadelphia Eagles, and now we've got big blank Brock. Rock in here. So if he gets him to a Jimmy G level, I could at least say where they'll talk about that. Well, it's an open competition going into camp. And that's what I don't want as like a Trey Lance. Because in one of our GOAT leagues with Matt Hicks, I traded two firsts. I got Matt Ryan and two firsts for Trey Lance in that league. I ain't getting that today. And by the way, those two firsts turned into Chris Olave and Christian Watson. Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan. He disappointed me so many ways.
That was a homer part of the deal, right, Randy? Just throw him in there as a Colts fan.
You know, as a Colts, but to be honest, I saw Phillip Rivers perform in this offense, and as bad as Carson Wentz was, he still went like 27-7 TD to interception ratio. It's like, you know, Paris Campbell's healthy. Like, you look at the Colts schedule, like, for the last month and a half, everything's been indoors. They don't play outside again until week 17 when they're at the Giants. I had this whole Matt Ryan strategy laid out, and this team absolutely crapped
it at all.
I just want them to lose out. The Colts are currently at the 107.
I'm just like you, brother. I was bummed
when the Cardinals lost on Monday, because if the Cardinals had beat the Patriots, the Colts would have been at the sixth spot. I'm like, okay. We're one step closer. Okay. That's where I'm at with Trey Lance. But they do have such an investment in him that's your saving grace as a dynasty GM.
So the Trevor Lawrence was going to be my guy, but I'll give another quarterback that I view as a riser. And it's kind of not a guy that's under the radar by any means. He's looked at as elite by everyone, but I think that it's worth kicking the tires on Joe Burrow in terms of moving on from maybe a Lamar Jackson who could be on with a different team. Maybe you trade a Kyler Murray plus. And I just think that Joe Burrow's closer to that top tier than he is like the QB8. He's kind of in his own little – this past year he was kind of in his own little window after some of the quarterbacks with running ability. But I think that for me, he's a guy I would go out and kick the tires on, even though he's an elite player. I don't think people necessarily view him as that potential QB1 overall, which I kind of view him as I think he's an elite talent. We're starting to see the rushing ability kind of comfortably back for him at times. Another guy who would be my dark horse would be Kirk Cousins, who will be in year two of the Kevin O'Connell offense. We've seen Justin Jefferson, I expect to be my 101 in redraft. Like, and I think Cousins has value to me in any super flex startup. Cousins is fantastic value, but I think if you're a guy who basically punted quarterback, I think you could get by with Cousins as a screamer type next year, just based on his comfortable ability in the offense with O'Connell and the fact that he's got the best receiver in football and, you know, potential more from TJ Hockenson next year. And then my faller, I'll give you two guys I would try to get out from under. Tua Tagovailoa, I think that he's had a tremendous season. I think it's kind of low hanging fruit to sell him, but I think I would try to do it early in the off season before the wheels get spinning. I think there's a chance that he's not the QB next year. He's exceeded expectations. I was in the war zone this year and I said that I thought Tua was going to have a year, and he's had a year, but he's not a guy I want to stay, attached to. And then in super flex, I'd be looking to move on from Mac Jones, because I think he's just such a purgatory guy. He's never going to take that next step. I think he's just such an ordinary guy. It's so easy to replace him. I would be looking to pivot. Dan?
Yeah, you guys pretty much hit all my guys. So in the interest of brevity, I'll just say who they were. I had Tua as my faller. I had Jared Goff as my riser. This is assuming that Detroit doesn't go quarterback, which I don't think they will. And then it, as my dark horse, I don't know. I mean, I kind of threw Trey Lance in there as sort of a dark horse. I think he's starting to become one a little bit. So that's where I went.
In the sake of fairness, so Dan doesn't have all his names called out, we'll go counterclockwise on running back. Randy, let's run it back.
I wrote like four or five names for each one, Theo, because I knew I'd probably be last on a lot of them. I was like, I don't want to end up like Dan. You know,
we'll limit it to one name only, just so we don't say each other's names. So we'll give it one guy for a riser, one guy for a faller, one guy for a dark horse. Randy, running back.
I got to go with my guy, Miles Sanders. I think he's outside of Barkley. I think he's the prize of this free agent pool of running backs. He's done great this year. He's playing as an RB1. The difference is I hope he lands in a spot where his QB doesn't vulture so many goal line touches. I also think he could be a lot more involved in the passing game. So give me Miles Sanders. My faller is fellow free agent David Montgomery. I think he's going to be the guy of the game of musical chairs, that when the music stops, there's not going to be a chair. And he could be a draft night signing like a Melvin Gordon, or he may have to wait until camp, as crazy as that to say. And when he's gone, that's going to open up an opportunity for a young guy in Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil Herbert was going to steal that job outright before he got injured. And if he comes back, I think there's a real, real scenario where we'll all be getting super cheap. I know, again, best ball right around the corner. late round flyer on a guy like Khalil Herbert, because if he steals this job, being paired with Justin Herbert, steal, absolutely steal.
Khalil, the real deal, Herbert.
Just did I steal JD's guy by accident?
No, dude. I anyone that comes on the district and talks Khalil, I love it, man. I love it. He's my boy.
Dan, you go with this one.
All right. So for my riser, I'm going to go with AJ Dillon. I think he's still pretty young. Assuming Aaron Jones is gone, I think he's going to have the backfield more to himself. He's shown he can catch passes. He's a force at the goal line. You know, he can really kind of do it all. He's when he came out, everybody was like, oh, he's kind of like Derrick Henry. I don't know if I would say that, but I think he's probably a better receiver than Henry. But you know, he's not going to be like Henry as far as, you know, like coming up with those 60, 70 yard runs where he just gets up ahead of steam and nobody can bring him down. I don't see that, but I think he's got a nice little rise coming. For a faller, I'm going with Dalvin Cook. I think there's a good chance that Minnesota really looks to make a move at running back this coming off season. Probably try to get out from under his contract if they can. So I think Dalvin just is, he's peaked. He's getting older. He's not doing as well this year. You know, pretty much any metric you look at, he's just not quite what he was. So I'm definitely looking to get out from under him if I'm not already.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook's a great one. So my riser, and then looking at this in terms of a dynasty perspective, is I think that there's going to be a disconnect in redraft value versus dynasty value for Ramondre Stevenson this offseason. I think he's going to be very polarizing because I think people are going to say, you know, he had a very good season, but Belichick, you know, doesn't usually do this with running backs. Running backs usually don't put up the points. Usually it's a committee. Damian Harris went down. It was a perfect storm for Ramondre. But I've seen enough from Ramondre that I think we're going to see another year of him being kind of the featured guy in this offense. And I think that he's going to be a guy that you're going to be able to acquire for cheaper than maybe the production will be. It'll be kind of like this past offseason we saw Gabe Davis being drafted so high in redraft, but not that high in dynasty. I think it could be something like that with Ramondre. So I'm bullish on him. A guy that would be my faller would be Damian Pierce. I sold where I could on Damian Pierce in most formats. I think that if you're holding Damian Pierce, you want to do everything that you can to trade him before the NFL draft and hopefully before free agency. There's so many outs for Houston to add another running back that could limit his value. You could see him in a James Robinson type situation where he didn't produce like James Robinson and he gets dusted like James Robinson. You saw what it did to James Robinson's value. You know, you're talking about a fourth round guy, a day two guy. I would try to get out from him. And then my dark horse, I have two dark horses. I hope I'm not taking one of yours, JD, but I had a tie. James Cook, who I think that will again be viewed as kind of in a committee, but he's a guy that I believe in the talent and it's worth kicking the tires on him in dynasty.
What's the first letter of the first name of the next guy?
And it rhymes with Shantonio Phipson.
It's all yours,
Antonio
brother.
Gibson.
It's all yours, brother.
Antonio Gibson, I think,
Ibby,
his talent, and I think that he could land in another team next year. I think that he's a talented running back who puts up fantasy points, and I think that if he lands correctly, I think he could gain a lot of value. What about you, JD?
All right, I'm going to go to the ugly Tampa Bay Buccaneers where Brady's just rotting it up over there. But Rashad White, man, 12 in targets, 11 in receptions, pass-catching, talented running back with a dying Leonard Fournette, who might be my faller. I think Rashad White, with the uncertainty of what's happening with this offense going into next year with Brady, I think there's an opportunity to jump on White still. And we saw him give you, he gave us top 10 production in two of the last 3 weeks. Yeah, Fournette came back last week, but I think going into next year, this guy's going to be hot. Fournette, obviously my faller. And then my dark horse I wrote a few here. You know what? I'm going to go Zamir. We talked about it actually in the hard way. Jacobs blew up this year, as we know, but he's a free agent. There's a lot of factors there. Zamir White, I think with the opportunities that come behind a guy that like Jacobs, what we've seen this year is a nice buy. And I'll throw my Canadian boy Chuba in there. Chuba giving us 20 points last week. I think he's with the running back carousel situation, the pricing get him at, I think he's a decent pickup as a young running back going into 23.
All right, Randy, let's go to the very fun position, wide receiver. Give us your riser, give us your faller, and give us your dark horse.
All right, well, my riser is Donovan Peoples-Jones. Going into year four of his career, getting ready to play with the best quarterback he's ever played football with. And I know Deshaun Watson's not look like Deshaun Watson, but you wouldn't look like you if you hadn't plied your trade in 700 days. And the Cleveland Browns currently have about $3 million in cap space. They'll save $8 million if they let Amari Cooper hit the bricks. They invested in David Bell last year. And I think you're going to be looking at an offense that is going to be consisted of Donovan Peoples-Jones and Njoku and David Bell, because all of their offseason draft capital and whatever cap space they can create is going to be designed to slow down Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, because you can't be the 27th best scoring defense and expect to win that division. So the offense is going to be the offense, and resources will go. So because of that, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who's coming off of a 13-target game, go get him. It's only going to keep up, and their schedule's pretty decent down the stretch. Prices will go up. My faller, I love this guy. I've been trying to buy him on a contender, but I know I'm buying a dying asset, is Tyler Lockett. If for some reason Geno doesn't re-sign in free agency, Tyler Lockett, who's been balling his ass off this year for a 30-year-old wide receiver, if Geno don't come back, that doesn't help. And then my Mr. Sneaky Sneaky, you guys should know this by now because out of sight, out of mind, Calvin Ridley coming back to that offense in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence in what will be a contract year, because his year of suspension told, so he'll be going into a contract year again. And I like that offense. I like warm weather. I like the QB. I like having a good QB. And everybody else gets to play a step down, right? Calvin comes into the one. That pushes Kirk down to the two. Ingram's still there. And they can use their draft capital and resources on improving the offensive line. So those are my three. Mr. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tyler Lockett, Calvin Ridley.
Dan?
All right, for my faller, I think I'm going to go with T. Higgins. He's just not, you know, he's always underwhelming. He's kind of in that range of, you know, Devonta Smith, basically. And I don't think with Ja'Marr Chase and the way that they have that offense designed, you know, Higgins can be valuable, but I don't think he's quite as good as what his value is right now. For my riser, I also had Donovan Peoples-Jones. Very good, Randy. But since Randy took him, I'll drop down a notch and I'll go with Alec Pierce. I think Alec Pierce is definitely a guy who can rise up the ranks and be worth a lot more this time next year. Dark horse, I don't know. I had to steal Alec Pierce from my dark horse and make him my riser, so I won't say a dark horse.
So for me, my riser is Jameson Williams. It kind of seems like low-hanging fruit, but I think we're going to see a potential DJ Shark type situation where a guy doesn't do a whole lot his first year in the league and then is a wide receiver too next year. I think that he'll be a popular guy, but I still think that he'll be attainable in Dynasty. My faller is Cooper Kupp. I talked about him earlier this year. This will be the time I'd look to sell on Cooper Kupp. I think you might be giving up another smash season, but I think there are some big red flags in terms of how limited that roster is going to be in Los Angeles, potential problems at the quarterback position. And, you know, he's getting schemed to a point where he's going to be, you know, not fall off the cliff of the earth, but I think he's going to, his time of being a truly elite player, the window's closing. And then my dark horse is actually Diontae Johnson, just because I believe in the talent, and I think that he's beat up enough right now in dynasty circles that you're going to be able to get him for cheaper than he should be worth. And I think that there's a lot of apprehension and kind of a lot of frustration with him. But, I think he's a tremendous player, and we always talk about how targets are earned. He's getting the targets. This is an outlier season. He'll bounce back next year.
I'll go Christian Watson, man. Like, I bought him today. I told you guys I bought Christian Watson. We all see what he's done in Green Bay. I think people might think he's overvalued because of the touchdown rate and what he's done in the red zone. But, I mean, let's face it. Rodgers hasn't had much in the way of weapons. So he came into an opportunity, whether you liked him or not, he's been grabbing on to that opportunity. And to me, you know, keeping it basic, looking at the QB wide receiver relationship and just them building the rapport, I think buying Watson right now, especially for that from that owner that maybe not competing, maybe they don't believe in Watson long-term, and moving a guy like Debo, for me, who's a faller, just a lot of new pieces. McCaffrey coming into San Fran. We don't know what's happening at the quarterback position. Now we've got Debo injured. I love Debo. You guys know how much I love Debo, but he's a guy that maybe right now is a sell or a value on the way down. And my dark horse, I'm going to stay in the same offense, and we maybe forgot about this guy, and our boy Dubs, man. He gave us like a top 10 in week 3 against Tampa. Nice compliment to Watson in Green Bay. What we think Cobbs is going to come back as an 89-year-old receiver? Come on.
That's a dark horse.
I'm going dark, bro. I'm a dark man. What do you want me? I'm going after you three, so I got to go deep and dark. Come on.
What about tight end, Randy?
Man, for me, my riser is going to be David Njoku. I want in on this Cleveland offense. I mean, they paid that man like he was Mark Andrews. Like, his contract is within, like, over the course of the 4 years, within $1 million of Mark Andrews. And, again, I want to be – when you're picking offenses, I think you'll hear a lot of this during redraft season, but they're going to be like, man, you really want to be on offenses in the AFC North, because we know Baltimore can score. We know Cincinnati can score. I actually think Pittsburgh's on the come. I think that offense is super young. And I think they'll be able to score. So I like being attached to that offense. My faller is Dalton Schultz. The Cowboys currently have $2.5 million in cap space. He's going to be a free agent again. I think he's going to want to test the waters. I think there might be a tight end desperate team out there that throws a lot of money at him. And I don't know what his value is going to be without Dak and without that situation. I once chased a man named Austin Hooper. Theo, you know all about that. Yes, I chased a man named Austin Hooper to Tennessee. It did not work out well for me. So I think Dalton Schultz is going to be my faller. And then when Dalton Schultz has to leave, that's going to leave Jake Turd Ferguson to slide in to potential relevance there in Dallas. He's had a couple of decent games. I think he's had 3 games this season, over 6 targets already. Pretty good blocker, can get out into some pass patterns. And if they can't afford or figure out how to re-sign Dalton Schultz in Dallas, remember the name Turd Ferguson. Jake Turd Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a funny
hat. He hurdled a man on Thanksgiving Day in a game we were all watching. Jake Ferguson, he really flashed at times.
This is how much I love the listeners. So for the listeners who don't know, Dan and JD co-own a team. Theo owns a team, and I own a team where we must start 2 tight ends.
It's painful.
It is. And I just gave, because I've been looking at figuring out ways to get Jake Ferguson from our league mate who has him. Now I have to deal with not only trying to figure out a deal that will get me him cheap without raising suspicion, I also now have to hope they won't listen to this podcast, and I have to keep you sharks out of the waters. But that's what I'm willing to do for the listeners of the Goat District podcast. That hurt me, by the way.
The selfless spirit of the holiday season. You know, you're giving Jake Ferguson to everybody listening to the show, and we appreciate that. For me, my riser, it's easy. You know, Wheeler's in the chat here, so I wanted to find a way to work in Pat Freiermuth, but I'm not going to do that to Wheeler. My riser is Greg Dulcich. Greg Dulcich, to me, looks like a guy who's going to be a tight end one for years to come. He gets open easily. He's just tremendous route runner, and I think he's got vision. I think when he gets out in the open field, he's dangerous. He's the kind of guy that could put up a big fantasy season. I think he'll be somewhat limited by the offense, but I think he's a safe tight end one moving forward in terms of dynasty. I bet you he's a top 10 pick in dynasty startups for a top 10 tight end in dynasty startups. My sell is George Kittle. I mean, we've seen it now where I think it's kind of a low-hanging fruit but the idea of George Kittle and the name George Kittle is worth more than the production he's going to give my fantasy team. I think that he's the kind of guy that if I could move him and pick up a Dulcich, pick up a Pat Freiermuth, something along those lines, I'm absolutely doing that because I think I can get plus for Kittle. I know that he's still getting paid a ton of money by San Francisco, but I think it's the Christian McCaffrey show. I think that's the guy that, you know, next year it's going to be, you know, acclimated the offense. I think that's his thing. Kittle, to me, will have some big weeks. He's obviously going to go around maybe, you know, tight end six in redraft, but he'd be a guy I'd be trying to sell in Dynasty. And then it's a little bit of recency bias, but I think that there's a lot of merit that Chig Okonkwo is my dark horse. And I think that he's going to be this offseason's like Albert O, where people are going to really want him, the profile he has, the potential opportunity. Randy brought up Austin Hooper. That's kind of been his impediment to seeing, like, you know, full tight end one usage. But I think that there's a chance they move on from Hooper.
Hooper's a free agent. I was going to bring that up. He's a free agent to be.
And Chig could also just lap him if he comes back to Tennessee on a team-friendly deal. Chig is a 4.5 240 guy. He had a year where he had to basically sit out at Maryland. He had like a heart thing, a minor heart thing, but something that made him sit out from football. They got him as a day three pick, but he looks every bit the part. There's not a lot of competition for pass catching in Tennessee, and I think he's flashed. He's had five targets, and six targets the last three. I think he'll end the season really in a hot way, and I think he'll be a name that we talk about this year as like our dark horse tight end in redraft and a guy that we want to get in Dynasty. Dan?
Yeah, I love how Theo just, you know, exited the show long enough to move in front of me so he could steal
my call. I changed the order, that's why. It was not to plug in my computer, it was to get I knew it.
Smart man. You're so underhanded, Theo, man. So surprise, surprise. Kittle's my follower. Pretty much all the reasons that Theo listed. You know, he once was a much bigger part of the offense. Now he's more of a, you know, you need the right game for him to really rise to the top in the scheme. And that's not what you want out of a top five tight end. For my riser, 1912. Here it is, Komet. You knew I was going to say Komet. It's always Komet. It's always been Komet. JD, you had to know I was going to say Komet.
I knew you guys were going to live one, two, and three.
Yeah, you knew if I was going in front of you, I was going to take Komet. I knew if you went in front of me, you were taking Komet.
Hey, Dan, is Komet like your Godfather 3 scene? Where, like, just when I thought I was out, he pulls me back in?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it was so frustrating this year because I've always believed in the talent, but I, you know, the offensive design for the first 7-8 games, whatever it was in Chicago, was just so god awful that it was impossible to, you know, it wasn't impossible to roster him, but it was impossible to play him. And, you know, in redraft, it was kind of impossible to roster him even. So, you know, it was very frustrating. So I'm glad to see he made it back. For my dark horse, I'm going with Jelani Woods. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, I thought Randy might go there, but I like Woods. I like what he can do. I like the size, speed aspect of him. You know, so, yeah, definitely a beast. And, yes, thank you, Harry Snowman, for catching that just before I said it. But, yeah, I love Woods. I think he's got a good chance.
I want to see if JD mentions that another sleeper I had at the tight end position before I ruin it and have JD be upset.
Yeah, the only thing I have left are three sleepers, and that's McBride in Arizona that we've seen. As much as I'm completely off the Kyler train, I don't want anything to do with that guy. I don't, you know, McBride, he's involved in the offense as a rookie tight end, so always huge, and likely he's given us some serious weeks. We know Andrews is there in Baltimore, but, you know, a bit lacking on the receiver side of things and just weapons in general. So likely can maybe slide in earlier than we think. And he's shown us really nice flashes. For me, that's huge. And the last guy in Tampa, as much as the question marks at the quarterback position, Cade Otton gave you what? He gave us four tight end one production this year. while Brait was out. So another kind of late guy. And of course, we talked about it in the chat. Who was it mentioned it? Bellinger out there in New York is another nice little sleeper. And Brent, did we hit everyone? Or
I had one more. We forgot. There you go. We forgot the only tight end handcuff in all of fantasy football, Noah Gray. If you're in Dynasty Fantasy Football tight end premium, or even if you're not, and you roster like 25 guys, Noah Gray will be coming off of taxi squads this year. If you have a 2-year taxi and people may not be able to know what to do with him, go see if you can, like during your rookie drafts, go pick up Noah Gray, because God forbid anything ever happens to Mr. Kelsey. This is, and we've seen flashes of this guy, you know, very similar to Jake Ferguson and others that we've mentioned tonight. He would become an absolute monster in that role very quickly. So just a name to, hey, 1912 Fantasy said Noah Gray as well.
No, I love the Noah Gray call. So before we get out of here, we want to get Randy's top five Dynasty startups, and we'll stick with non-Superflex here. So give them a little taste of what they can hear on the War Zone. With a little early startups values.
All right. So these, what I love about these five guys is, hello, am I still here?
Yep.
Yeah, you're good. Yep. You're good. You're in the spotlight, brother.
That's what the world needs, is me in the spotlight. For me, these five guys are safe whether you're going to do a productive struggle build or you're going to do a win now build. And number one is Justin Jefferson. Pretty simple. The guy made me look smart, and I need all the help I can get. I was on a redraft podcast, and I said earlier in the summer he was going to be my 101 on the season and my 101 in one QB leagues last year, and he made me look very smart. And then I'm going Jamar Chase. I don't think he's as consistent as week to week as Jefferson, but, man, when he wins you a week, he wins you a week. Jonathan Taylor, I do believe the Colts are going to improve the quarterback position. I think they'll improve the offensive line, and when that happens, I think we'll see a return to glory for JT. He'll only be going into year four, and it'll be a contract year for him as well. Then I have CeeDee Lamb just ahead of A.J. Brown. You could interchange those two as you like. I do agree with the GOATs here. I do believe that Goddard and Devonta Smith and even Quez Watkins at times eats more into his week-to-week value than Gallup and Schultz and those guys do with Lamb. So they're four and five, but they're very interchangeable. But I went very wide receiver heavy. It's just a safer asset to build around. Justin Jefferson's 23 years old. He won't be 24 until June. If he plays until he's 30 years old, you will have him in your rosters until the year 2029, okay? I hope that your league lasts till 2029. So that's why I'm building around. If it's a GOAT league, it damn sure probably will be. But that's why I'm going to be investing in startups a little bit more at the wide receiver position than historically what it's been the last 3 or 4 years with running back.
Awesome. I love the list.
Yep. Love it.
Yep.
I just hope Justin Jefferson stays in Minnesota that entire time.
Oh man, he that's the beauty about some of these wide receivers, man. I mean, they have been you know, quarterback proof for a lot, and that's why I like Donovan Peoples-Jones so much as my sleeper. I mean, I've done a ton of research on him, and you know, he's currently the wide receiver 31 on the season, but he's only got one touchdown, and that's why you could only, and it was last week. The only reason why you're still going to be able to get this guy so cheap is he hasn't been in the end zone. If he only had five more touchdowns, this is a stat that'll blow your mind. If he had five more touchdowns, he would be the wide receiver 21 nestled snugly between Devonta Smith and Chris Olave. And I guarantee you the acquisition conversation about trying to get Peoples-Jones is going to go a hell of a lot easier than trying to go get Devonta Smith or Chris Olave. So we've seen the wide receiver one with Deshaun Watson blow up in the past, and that's going to be the guy. So, yeah, thanks for letting me have a second there on Donovan Peoples-Jones, my man crush, going into 23.
Donovan Peoples-Fuller? We could change the last name.
Man, it's hard to root for a Michigan guy, right? I'm an Indiana guy, but I think he's just flashed so much. And there was a tweet that came out today from either Fantasy Pros or ESPN or someone that said the offensive coordinator in Cleveland is going to open up more of the deep passing game with Watson. And I was like, I need to go get some sweatpants because these work pants aren't going to hold.
Yeah, you got that right. I'm right there with you on him, Randy. I think he's a great buy in Dynasty. You could trade Devonta Smith for Donovan Peoples-Jones in a first.
Well, I was going to say he's a perfect pivot, right? We talk about pivots often. You want to move one of those receivers that are worth more than Smith right now. You can, or than DPJ, you can pivot nicely into him with a pick added, right? If you move the right one.
And I love talking best ball with you guys because it's not a format that I delve a lot in, but I love the concept of it. And for you guys in that round where you would be going to draft it in seasonal best ball, right? The underdog, you know, your guys will be all over those things. But in those rounds where you'll be potentially drafting a Devonta Smith or a Chris Olave, you may be able to pivot to a better quality running back there in those mid rounds, knowing that you can wait two rounds later and get potentially equal production with a Donovan Peoples-Jones while having a more, you know, as much upside is a better way of putting it, while having a more solid running back option. So I think he's going to open up a lot of doors for you guys, and we're going to hear that name a lot come best ball season, which is just going to drive his dynasty value up.
Yep, 100%.
Love it. Randy, this has been a blast, man. We touched on a lot in 90, what are we at, 98 minutes-ish. Why don't you remind the peeps all the goodness that you bring on the War Zone, where they can find it, everything you have coming out, your Patreon, all of it, man. Let the people know where they can find it.
Just keep it real simple. Just search Dynasty War Zone everywhere. Instagram, YouTube, even TikTok. Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, not Facebook. No, hell no. But if you search at Dynasty War Zone on a social media, we're there. Big focus for the off season for me is really getting more into TikTok and into the YouTube shorts. The 1 minute videos. I think that's where we can make the biggest impact. Especially as rookie season, I think that'll be great content for our listeners. And I think it'll be a great reason to check out and subscribe over at Dynasty War Zone. Be sure to follow my co-host, Jerry Sinclair, at Jerry Sin DWZ. And we've got a great crew right now, man. We like much like you guys. I mean, we have the guys doing the Dynasty War Games. We have Kyle from the FF SmackDown. And then our rookie guys kicking into high gear. His name is Dallas Hyder. And he'll be doing the rookie rundown show, and that'll be hitting a lot starting right around the Super Bowl. So tune into the Dynasty War Zone. We're going to have startup season, rookie season, the whole nine yards.
Guys, check out the Dynasty War Zone. Good clan over there. Jerry the Beard. I don't know if he still has a beard. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, it's like a,
it's I see
like
him in the chat. I see him in the
like
chat.
It's like an old school, like a Jason Statham, like a stubbly thing.
It's like a fizzle. Know. It's like a fizzle.
You could scrub a pan with it, like an SOS pan.
Yeah, Jerry's a good dude, man. Especially with the college, the rookies coming out. Theo, we got some monsters coming out, including Friday.
So we have, if you like today's show, we're going to keep it dynasty focused this Friday afternoon. Anthony Amico is coming into the GOAT District for the first time. He's a sharp dynasty guy, puts out the dynasty content for Establish the Run. And then next week, we're getting back into the high stakes streets. Over the course of the season, we had a number of these high stakes round tables. Next week, we're actually going to try to take a look at predicting ADP and maybe giving some of our ranks for 2023 in redraft. So we have Billy Wazowski and Chris Eibel, two NFFC Hall of Famers, coming on to do the NFFC. Billy Muzio is coming on to do the FFWC ADP, and we'll do an FFPC one as well. And then on the 27th, just as a look ahead, Chad Schroeder is coming back into the GOAT District, probably the best high-stakes player to ever live. And a multiple-time guest for us. He's always a pleasure to have him on the GOAT District. So we're bringing you the heat. We want you to win your leagues. We're in playoff mode right now. We're getting after it.
Guys, if you're in the playoffs right now, good luck. Hopefully we've helped you guys along the way. If we have, smash a like, smash subscribe. Randy, this has been a blast tonight. Make sure you're following Dynasty Warzone, guys, the whole crew. Compliment it with the GOAT District, and you'll win a lot more ships. Guys, it's been a blast, man. Smash the like, smash the subscribe. We appreciate all the support. Make sure you tune in Friday for a monster show, and we'll check you all
Later.
Go District, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion, for the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex, send the homie a text. That trash offer's the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden, they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's the and I always be trading, trading, trading. And I always be trading, trading, trading. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them, bait them, bait them. Fish.
Fun show, fellas. That was good.
Awesome.